guys, because otherwise I'll just waffle. Okay, so in just a few short days, we, the Muzzle family, will be taking a significant step in the next stage of God's purposes for us. We're moving to a place called Busot in Spain. We discern a great harvest field and a place for us there, all four of us, as workers for the kingdom. So Chris and I have felt drawn to Spain for some time, and two recent trips to the East Coast have proved unexpectedly definitive in quickly bringing this calling into sharper focus. We intend to be involved with two churches in the neighboring areas of El Campayo and San Juan, who are also both entering new seasons in their own development. Besides this, serving the churches, Chris and I also have a vision for a personal ministry using our new home as a place of rest and worship and retreat for those needing such a facility. So Chris and I travelled to Spain a few weeks ago, and it proved to be a real extraordinary and whirlwind week, kind of even by our standards. We settled on a location to live. This is in a week. We found a house and placed a deposit on it. We toured a school for the children and enrolled them. We attended the aforementioned churches and several meetings. We were given words of prophecy and encouragement for them. Preached a mini sermon. Adopted some Spanish grandparents. Not formally. were invited to Texas and found the local Lidl. So that was good. One of the great confirmations of our call to ministry with the churches was the amazing way in which God affirmed to them our giftings in just a really short space of time and encouraged them by our testimonies. Considering how much of a whirlwind it was, we consider our sense of peace about it all a real unmistakable gift from God. I don't know, like Chris and I, some of you will know, we're not shy of following God's leading. Even when many I's and T's seem to remain undotted and uncrossed. But here we go again. Whilst the plan to move to Spain has become a reality rather quicker than we anticipated, we've got great faith that he holds all those I's and crosses to be put in place in his timing. Significant amongst these, still yet to find work out, is finding paid work for Chris and I. Physically and emotionally, the upheaval for us of moving, all of us are going through that, moving from friends and family and the place of our birth to a different country, culture, language, and ministering in an unfamiliar territory. There's no paid work at the church, although we feel that we are meant to work at both in some capacity. But we want to be as self-sufficient as we're able. So prayers for jobs and things will be most appreciated. But we, realistic that we do have ongoing costs, and there are flyers if you want to contribute to that. But we've seen enough of God's hand in this venture, and the amazing array of situations we've experienced across the world to just have alleviated fears. And we also rejoice in the network of people that God's put around us, which is includes yourself. We really feel blessed to have been able to meet you guys and be part of this congregation. So with that in mind, we've actually asked someone to represent us to you and you to us, to sort of be a middleman that we're going to send newsletters to and updates and prayer requests and things like that. So you guys will be kept well informed of what we're doing. So we just thank you so much. We intend to bless you as much as we can with our testimony of what God reveals himself to be doing through us in Spain. So thank you.
So you've been handed out the flyers, but really, most of all, we just would appreciate prayer. If you don't want to give anything, the details are on there. We've had to do this because we're doing and Denise Besser was like, oh, you can hand them out here. I was like, well, we don't want to be. But on the back, it just shows our aims for sort of this year. And really, for the first 6 months, we're trying to get these two settled. They're going to be going into a Spanish school. So if you could pray for them. It's funny because I haven't actually put our names on the form. So our names are Paul and Christine and Grace and Zechariah. And if any of you feel called to join us in Spain, then please do. Or if you want a holiday there or anything, that's what our place is for. So to do any projects, or you need any healing, or know someone who just needs a bit of retreat, then contact Denise and she will get in touch with us. And we hope to pop back and visit as well. So thanks for that.
Okay, so it would be good to pray for you. Do you want to just shuffle into the middle? I always think it sounds far more exciting when they go out than what happens in here. I think we should maybe have a sort of a, yay, yeah, it's the sermon. Or maybe not. Okay, so I'm conscious that that time's moving on, and we do want to break bread together. So I'll try and keep things fairly short. But for those of you that have been here over the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been working our way through 1 Thessalonians, and we've finally reached the last few verses. If you think back, for those of you that maybe have missed some or have not been here for the others, we've seen in the previous chapters how Paul has really encouraged the Thessalonians to stand firm in their faith and their love for each other. He's urged them to live holy lives, and he's addressed some questions that they've struggled with. We looked at that last week, didn't we, about the whole thing about what happened to those that had died when they were expecting Jesus to come back, and Jesus hadn't, and these people had died, and what would happen to them. And so we looked at that. But all the way through, Paul has just been so encouraging to them, and he said to them, look, we know how much you love each other. We know how much you care, and you demonstrate that. And we know how you're trying to live holy lives. But all the way through, he's saying, but there's more. You can do more. There's more for you. There's more that God wants for us. And so he comes to this final part of this letter where he's leaving them with some practical advice. You know what it's like when, I don't know if you're the same, but like if you're going away on holiday and you're leaving, like, well, if your kids are older, obviously, but you're leaving kids behind, and maybe, you know, they're going to be at home on their own for the weekend, and you say to them, don't forget to feed the cat. Don't forget to make sure that the lights are turned off. Don't have your friends round. Don't, you know, make sure that you tidy up. Make sure you wash the... So you leave a list of things that you want them to remember before you actually leave the house. It's a little bit like this with Paul. He's going back and he's saying, right now, before I finish this, these are the things that you need to know. These are the things that you need to remember. Because if we think that Paul really wasn't sure what was happening to him, he wasn't sure if he was going to get back to see the Thessalonian church, he wasn't sure if he could send Timothy or the others again, so he was trying to pack in to these last few verses all the things that he wanted them to know and to remember. So if you've got your Bibles, we'll look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 28. So finishing off this book. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to look, if you want to use your phones, as you know, you're trusted that you are reading your Bible and you're not looking at Facebook. Okay, so. Dear brothers and sisters, honour those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with Christian love. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So, really, when we look at these verses, what Paul is trying to show to us is what a Christian community looks like. So he's looking at our relationships with our leaders, our relationships with each other, and our relationship with God. And it's an important reminder here that as Christians, we're not meant to live our lives in isolation. There are some that maybe think that meeting together isn't an important thing, that they can live out their faith on their own. But actually, that's not the case at all. Paul is saying here that as a community, we need to live together, and he's putting some things there that will help us to do that in a way that helps us to honour each other. And he starts off by looking at that in the context of a leader. We have to remember that we belong to each other, we need each other, we worship together, we learn together, we witness together. And he's addressing this problem that has arisen in the church. We've said right at the beginning that the Thessalonian church was a very young church. In fact, all the churches that Paul is writing these letters to in the New Testament are young churches. Churches that have started and that maybe Paul's had some input into, but then he's moved on and maybe he's left some people behind. But what he did each time a church group, in fact, they wouldn't even have been called a church at that point, that group, that gathering of believers, that he would put someone there to be able to oversee, to be able to help, to lead and to guide them. And although probably they'd become Christians around the same time, obviously Paul recognised where the Holy Spirit was gifting people. And so he would be able to look at people and see what the Holy Spirit was doing in them. And so there were men and women that Paul identified as having that gifting that is needed to lead and to shepherd and to look after those very new young Christians. But for some of the people, that may well have been difficult. You know, we often meet people that maybe think that they should be doing things that we can see maybe haven't got the gifts or the ability to do. And sometimes there can be some frustration when people look at the people that God does seem to call, and they look at them and think, why them? You know, I know I feel that myself sometimes. I say to God, why me? You know, out of everyone that you could have chosen, why me? But actually, it's not for us to question that. It's the Holy Spirit that gives his gifts and that appoints people. And so Paul was addressing this with the Thessalonian church. He was sort of suggesting that maybe they weren't loving their leaders as they should, that maybe there was some disagreement and some clashes. But Paul's saying we need to honour those people that the Holy Spirit has gifted to take on this task of leading churches. And it's not just church leadership, but it's any form of leadership. You know, if we bring it to our context, you know, leading home groups, teaching the Sunday school, those situations where sometimes we're called to step up to take a lead of some sort. So Paul's asking people to respect those that have been given this gift and this call of leading them. He's given the leaders a spiritual responsibility, and sometimes that means that we have to deal with things that maybe are tricky. So we see here that, you know, people, Paul's saying, you need to warn people when people are maybe going off and doing stuff that actually are not good for them or are not what God would want for them. There comes a time when a leader, someone with responsibility, maybe has to challenge that. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be called out on something that maybe I'm doing wrong or where I've done something or haven't done something, and somebody points it out and says, actually, do you think that was right? Do you think that was fair? And we get this instant thing inside, don't we? Oh, you know, who do they think they are? Well, who are they to tell me that I shouldn't be doing that? Or, oh, and then we get all uppity and defensive, don't we? And Paul's saying, but actually, you know, there are times when we need that. We're not always very good at taking correction and taking those times when maybe someone has to say, you know what, you know, as much as I love you and I want to bless you, and because of that, I just need to say that I don't know if this is honouring to God. That doesn't mean that we criticise. It's always these very fine lines, isn't it, between doing something like that and it tipping over into being criticism or sharing things and it becoming gossip. So we need to just really be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But as leaders, sometimes that is something that we might have to do, as well as encouraging and teaching and all those other things. So Paul's saying, look, honour your leaders, respect them. They've been given a job to do. Sometimes it's not a very nice job. Sometimes there are things that God asks leaders to do that, you know, are tough for the leader to do as well, because nobody wants to have to go and say things like that, or to deal with a difficult situation that may have arisen, to confront things that maybe are wrong. But Paul's saying here, look, let's respect each other. Let's wholeheartedly love each other, because when we do that, when we're respecting each other, when we're loving each other, then we don't misunderstand what people are saying to us. And then he says, live peacefully together. Don't be stirring the pot. Don't be saying things about your leader or about people that maybe causes those ripples of dissent. Honour each other. Speak well of each other. And that way we can live peacefully together. And it's not just leaders that have this responsibility of discipling and teaching. We all share that together. We're all called to be disciples, and we're all called to bring people on as well. So if you've been a Christian a bit longer than someone else and, you know, you've got stuff to share, let's share it. That's what Paul's saying here. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. That doesn't mean that you go around calling people lazy. You know, let's be... But, you know, there is those times, isn't there, when we can encourage each other and say, come on, we need to get behind this. Or, you know, we hold back on things because we think, oh, it's a bit too much bother. But, you know, let's encourage each other. Let's provoke each other to doing more and loving more and caring more. And to be aware of those that are struggling. It's not just, you know, it's not just for me to notice that. We're a body. So if one person's hurting, it's all our responsibilities to care and to look out for them. And when someone's struggling, maybe times are tough and maybe faith's being shaken, it's for all of us to get behind and speak those encouraging words. So this community that Paul is talking about here, it's a community that is led, and it's a caring community. And then we go on, probably some of the most well-known verses. Probably as I was reading that, you were thinking, oh yeah, I know those verses. Paul's saying that we should be a worshipping community. And it says it in these three verses, and they're very short. These are the sort of verses that you like to be given as a memory verse, aren't they? Verse 16, always be joyful. Verse 17, never stop praying. Verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. We often take those verses personally, don't we, for ourselves. We say, oh, that's what we should be doing, and that is right, we should. We should all own and take these verses. But actually, remember, Paul is speaking to the church, and he's saying, as a church, we need to be joyful. As a church, we need to never stop praying. As a church, we need to be thankful in all circumstances. And as we do that, this is where our encouragement comes in, that we're doing this together. And we might think, but how can I be joyful? My life's a mess and this has happened, or my health is so bad. How can I be joyful? We're not talking about being happy, which depends on our circumstances, but that joy that comes from knowing that in all these things, that God is at the heart and at the center. So whatever is happening around us, the rock, that thing, that solid place within us, is knowing that God is for us, that he is there, that he cannot be shaken, whatever's going on. And it's because of that that we can be joyful. It's not that we're joyful that we're going through these terrible things. We're joyful because in them, God is with us. God is there. He's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that supports us. That's why we can be joyful. Never stop praying. We might think, that's impossible. My life is so hectic. I haven't got time to hardly breathe, yet alone pray. But actually, our life should be an ongoing prayer. That when we find ourselves in situations, you know, the fact that we are even in those situations, we're bringing God's presence there. And we need to be able to just bring those things to God. It doesn't have to be long prayers. In our home group, we're going through a study looking at prayer and just breaking it down to real simple just statements. And that's what we can do. We just say, you know, we find someone that's struggling, Lord, just help them. Lord, step into this situation. Lord, I'm facing this. Please be with me. And be thankful in all circumstances. And we can be thankful because everything that we have comes from God. Everything. The breath that we breathe, it's God-given. Amen. We have everything to be thankful for. We just need to remember that and we need to remind each other. And that's where, as a church, that's where things start to work, because we can share these things and encourage each other in those things. So we can be a worshipping community by rejoicing ceaselessly, praying continually, thanking constantly, and listening wisely. As I was sort of thinking and praying about what to say and just reading some stuff, I found this statement, which I'm going to read to you just because it says it far better than I can. And it says this: what makes these commands difficult, those that we've just read? The Spirit can give us joyful, prayerful and thankful hearts, but too often our attitudes are situation-driven, making us vulnerable to constantly shifting circumstances. But when our joy is in Christ, it's untouchable. When we realise that prayer is as much a state of heart as it is words, we see how we can be in constant communion with the Lord, and we can give thanks in any situation because we know God is at work to bring good from it. So, in order to be this worshipping community, Paul goes on to say, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. It's very easy to stifle the Holy Spirit. Again, that comes down to us. And how open are we to the Holy Spirit? How willing are we to use the gifts that he gives to us? How much do we want to welcome him into our church, into our community, to see him moving? And then we have this thing from Paul where he says about don't scoff at prophecies. Now, for us, when we think about prophecies, we think about those encouraging words that people bring. Sometimes they can be directive things. But we have to remember that when Paul's speaking to the Thessalonian church here, the only Bible that they had, the only scriptures that they had available to them at this time was the Old Testament. The New Testament didn't exist. What they had was the words of the apostles, those that had walked with Jesus, those that had heard his teaching, Paul, who had encountered Jesus. And they were the ones that were bringing this teaching and bringing them the truth of the gospel. But there were others that were also going around who were preaching a gospel, but it wasn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the truth. And so people were being led by the various teachings. They would, as you know, in these times, people went around to all the towns and they would take their particular form of religion with them. And they would come into the church and they would start to bring stuff. And Paul's saying here, you know, have an ear. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and he gives us discernment. And he's saying to them, don't despise, don't just think, oh, this is just another person coming and bringing. No, you need to listen. You know, when Paul, when Timothy, whoever, when these people come to you, you need to listen. You need to weigh what they're saying. Does it measure up to what you've been taught, to this gospel message that you've been given? Or does it feel a bit at odds to it? And Paul's saying, don't despise prophetic words, but be sensible. listen to the Holy Spirit, check what is given. Because if we don't, we can be led astray. And that goes for me too, just because I'm the one that stands up here on a Sunday and I bring a message or I say stuff. It doesn't mean I don't get it 100% right. I make mistakes. I get things wrong. It's your responsibility to hear these words and then to look at these scriptures and say, actually, is that right? Is that what God's saying? You know, we hear preachers and they bring forms of gospel teaching. They bring teaching and you look at it and, you know, you just get that feeling and you just think, not sure. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit when we're listening to things. That way we're not led astray. And we need to listen to each other as well, those who have been given that wisdom and that discernment, and hear what they say. And then finally, we come to the conclusion. So Paul has given all these instructions and all these things for them to think about. And he says, actually, you know, you're called to live a holy life. You're called to follow Jesus, to put aside all those things that that you did in your past. Your new creation, you're called to live in this new way. And he's saying, but actually, you can't do it. It's not down to you. What does he say? He says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. How do we do that? God will make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful. God will make it happen if we allow him the room to work in our lives. There's a challenge there, isn't there? How open are we to be challenged, to hear what God has to say, to change things when he puts his finger on things, to take those steps that we need to break the power of sin? We need to let God break into our hearts and lives to set us apart and make us holy. And as we come this morning now to break bread together, we're reminded that it's because of what he's done for us, for his great love and mercy and his faithfulness towards us. And surely as we think on this, our hearts must be changed as we come with joy and thankfulness to this table.